This episode of Gather and Go is brought to you by Visit Atlantic City. Live to explore in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Atlantic City welcomes one and all to the seaside destination where local spirits are connected and the celebrations are unforgettable. Learn more at visitatlanticcity.com. Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome to Gather and Go, the podcast that helps you plan, promote, and lead better trips. I'm your host, Brian Jewell. I'm with you on a blustery day here in Lexington, Kentucky. So glad to have you joining us from wherever you are today. And of course, as always, our promise to you is that we're going to do everything we can to make this investment of your time worth your while. And today, I'm going to bring you a really fascinating conversation with Danny Guerrero and Ezra Calvert. These two folks are experts in tourism marketing and specifically in tourism research, and they have some really insightful new research to share with us about the future of the American traveler and how we might reach those people better as travel professionals. You're not going to want to miss that interview. Before we get there, though, let's start with some travel news you may have missed. Notre Dame Cathedral has finally announced a reopening date. The Paris Landmark and UNESCO World Heritage Site, which was completed in the 13th century, has been closed since a fire ravaged the building in April of 2019. Work to restore the cathedral has been ongoing for 5 years, and now officials say the cathedral will open for visitors beginning on December 16th. The church is currently accepting reservations for pilgrimage groups and will accept reservations for other tour groups beginning in June. Now, in accordance with French law, entry to the cathedral will be free, and officials expect as many as 40,000 visitors per day. To accommodate that level of visitation, which represents a significant increase in traffic from before the fire, officials are capping tour groups at 25 people each and requiring guides to use wireless headphone systems to communicate with their customers. Group access will also be closed during services, as well as on Saturday afternoons and all day Sundays. Now, while restoration inside the cathedral is nearing completion, work on the exterior is scheduled to continue through 2028. Well, now it's time for the road tip segment of our show. This is the part of every episode where we dig deep into decades worth of travel experience and give you tips that we think will help you make your next trip less stressful and more successful. Now, today, I want to share with you an email that I received from a listener named Jamie. Jamie writes, "I had a situation on a tour with a small group of complainers. This was like a poison in the group. If the weather was beautiful, one of them would say the weather was awful. One lady in particular acted horribly to hotel, restaurant, and airline staff. I was embarrassed because this reflects badly on my group and my program." She went on to say, "I'm looking for ways to diplomatically dispel the negativity and bad behavior. If you have any suggestions, I'm all ears." Well, Jamie, thanks for your email. I do have some ideas for you, and I think we have all been in this situation before where we encounter a negative Nelly on a tour, and boy, can it ruin things for everybody. So here's what I would tell you. Number one, start by setting a tone of positivity at the beginning of the trip, or even before the trip begins. If you have some kind of pre-trip meeting or a Zoom or any kind of orientation session, that is a great time to say to everybody, hey, group trips are a ton of fun, but they're the most fun when everybody brings a positive attitude and lots of flexibility. You can say that on the first day of the tour. You can remind people as you go each morning on the motor coach, as you get ready to go, say, hey, we're going to have a great day. And part of what is going to make this day great is if we all have a great attitude, we all stay flexible, and we all remember to have fun, because that is what we came on this trip for. Now, if those subtle hints, if that sort of leadership touch at the beginning of the tour and those reminders on a daily basis aren't quite getting the job done, if these people on the trip are just not getting the hint, then you've got to be a little bit more proactive as the leader. You may have to pull a troublemaker aside and address their behavior directly. Say, hey, I've noticed a lot of complaining. It seems like you are maybe not having that great a time. And this gives you an opportunity to do a number of things. First of all, it shows that you care about them, because sometimes people who are complaining, people who are overly negative, they really just want to feel heard. You know, maybe they don't feel like they have much agency or autonomy in their own lives. Maybe they feel like they don't get much attention, they don't get much care, they don't get much love. And you taking a moment to say, hey, is everything okay, gives them an opportunity to feel heard. It could be that they have a legitimate complaint that you didn't know about. And if you found out about it, you would have an opportunity to address it, take care of it, and make it better. Or it might be that just having an opportunity to be heard will help them change their mindset. It could also be they don't realize how much their negativity is leaching out into the group. I can tell you from my own experience, my wife could certainly tell you that sometimes I don't realize how much my attitude or my inner thought life is leaking out through my face and my tone and my words and affecting the people around me. She very frequently has to remind me that the way that I'm communicating or even my body language has an impact on other people. And you might have to do that for somebody too, who simply doesn't realize how they are impacting everyone else's vacation. Now, if you just never get through to them, there's not a whole lot you can do on the trip. You may just have to grin it out and get to the end. But when the trip is over, you definitely need, unfortunately, to pull that person out of your database, exclude them from your customer list, don't invite them on any more trips. And if they register, if they ask to come, you just might have to say no. Or at the very least, you might have to say, I'm going to give you another chance to come, but it can't go down the way it went down last time. Now, I know this all sounds harsh. And if you are a group leader, if you're a tour operator, if you're in this tourism business, you're probably in it because you love people, you love travel, you love having fun. Having a face-to-face, heart-to-heart, difficult conversation with somebody about their behavior is never fun. But there is a high likelihood that the person may actually thank you for addressing them head on. There is an extremely high likelihood that everybody else in the group will too. Because as you've noted, Jamie, the complainer's behavior affects everyone. Everybody hears it. Everybody notices it. Everybody wishes they would put a sock in it. And the longer you let it go on, the more disservice you're doing to your other travelers who have paid to be there and are contributing with a great attitude and are suffering needlessly because one or two or three people just haven't figured out how to put on their big kid britches and deal with some of the inconveniences that can come when you're traveling in a group. So address it generally with the group, address it with positivity and cheerfulness at first, address it head on if you have to, and if the person just doesn't get it, they don't need to be part of your travel tribe going forward. That is your road tip of the week. Thanks again to Jamie for that question. If you are like Jamie and have questions or things you're wondering about group travel or something else in the travel industry that you would like to hear from us on, please, please, please send that to us. We always love hearing from you. You can send your questions directly to me at podcast@grouptravelleader.com. We will do our best to answer all those questions. And hey, if I don't have an answer for you, well, maybe it'll give me an opportunity to track down an expert who does. And you might find that your question becomes the topic of a future episode of Gather and Go. Well, it's just about time for us to get into our featured conversation with Danny Guerrero and Esra Calvert. Before we do, let me remind you that you're going to hear all kinds of amazing insight here, but you don't need to worry about writing it down, especially if you're in the car, working out, in the garden. Don't worry about taking notes because I am taking notes for you. That's right. You can find a recap of the entire episode, including some of the most important things our guests have to say, in the show notes for this episode of Gather and Go. Show notes you can find right below the media player in any podcasting app or If you're listening on our website, they are going to be directly below the media player there as well. And hey, if you'll stick around through the end of the interview, I'll also come back here on the air and share some of my top takeaways from this conversation and also give you some insight that I have, some of my reactions to what Danny and Ezra have to say. You won't want to miss any of that. We'll be right back with Danny Guerrero and Ezra Calvert. Atlantic City is ready to celebrate life's greatest moments with thrilling year-round events and attractions. With 24-hour gaming at 9 casino resorts and stellar entertainment throughout, Atlantic City is sure to provide iconic celebrations. Historic, wooden, and more than 5 miles long, the Atlantic City Boardwalk attracts visitors from all around the world as they create their own waterfront memories. You can stroll the wooden way by foot, on a bicycle, or via the legendary rolling chair. Bask in the glowing sun, take a dip in the Atlantic Ocean, or stroll along the white sandy beaches to find the perfect seashell. At the famous and free beaches of Atlantic City, adventure is on the horizon. Known for its thriving culinary scene, Atlantic City welcomes all to explore its famous dining establishments. From celebrity chef hotspots to locally owned eateries, Atlantic City's restaurants are well-equipped to accommodate special events for large or small groups, served in unique spaces. Start planning your Atlantic City trip at visitatlanticcity.com. All right, everybody. My guests today are tourism marketing experts and the authors of a groundbreaking new study called The Future of Travel, that attempts to forecast the travel tastes and demands of America's growing multicultural market. Danny Guerrero is the CEO of The Culturist Group, a firm that focuses on using storytelling in tourism marketing. And Ezra Calvert is the founder of the tourism analytics firm Ezra Calvert Consulting. Danny and Ezra, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Brian. It's a pleasure being here.
Thank you, Brian.
I'm so glad to have you both here, and we've got some really exciting new data to talk about. But before we get into all the geeky stuff, I would love for you each to quickly share with our audience how you found your way into a career in tourism marketing, because that's not a career field that many people even know exists. So Ezra, why don't you start and kind of tell us how you became a tourism expert?
I grew up on the coast of Turkey, right across from Greek Isles. So at a young age, I saw how tourism can make destinations propel and also really go downhill. So it's all about prosperity and how we make decisions. So yeah, Tourism could be a miracle for destinations.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. What about you, Danny?
A similar story, actually. Different part of the world. So I'm from San Diego, California, originally, and had huge jobs in tourism. So I was at SeaWorld San Diego, San Diego Zoo. And as I was making my way to college, I stumbled upon an amazing internship opportunity with the San Diego Tourism Authority, which exposed me to the professional world of destination marketing and convention marketing and the amazing opportunity I had to represent my beautiful hometown of San Diego, but also understand that, you know, tourism was a viable career path for myself. So yeah, that's how I got exposed to it. And here I am many years later.
That's fantastic. We're not going to talk about how many years for any of the three of us, but let's just say that you both know what you're doing. So I'm curious how you guys got together, and specifically, what was the impetus for saying, let's do this future of travel study? Where did that idea come from?
Aaron.
It was a little bit serendipity, actually. I was chairing a conference back in 2022 in Victoria, Canada, and I really wanted to bring aspects from the gaps in the industry, sustainability, diversity, AI, tech. And I really wanted Danny to come and speak because I loved what he was doing on the cultural perspective. And James as well, because James and I worked together for many years at Virginia Tourism with Black Travel and many initiatives. And I think we had a really good conversation during one of the planning sessions. And then late that summer, James called us and said, let's do something cool that nobody's going to do.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think we're also in a very interesting time in our careers and from a transitioning standpoint. So James Warren, who was a key partner in this project, is with Share More Stories, and they use really storytelling from consumers to assess, right, emotional markers. And we'll get into that a little bit, I'm sure. But I had spoken at a conference with him when I was at my former employer agency. And when I told him in 2021, and I think Ezra as well, that I was transitioning to the Culturist Group and really focusing on a multicultural, I communicated to James that it was really important to continue for me the work of producing research that focuses on the needs of multicultural travelers, and that some of the larger agencies and organizations in the space weren't doing that. And that is a really key opportunity, or we're not doing it enough, should I say. It would be the services say they weren't doing it, but continuing to develop a narrative beyond how much people of color spend to, hey, how do we feel? You know, what are the considerations? And so when Ezra was, you know, passionate about this, and James was passionate about it, James, certainly a travel experienced person, Ezra and I squarely in travel, we just thought what an amazing opportunity this could be to use a really great platform, the SEEK platform that Share More Stories has, to architect this collaboration.
Yeah, very cool. So there are certainly many people out there doing all sorts of consumer sentiment study in tourism. I mean, that's ongoing research. And that in itself is not a new idea. Tell us what made this project different from, you know, just another, as you mentioned, trying to figure out how, you know, let's say people of color are spending money in tourism. What was it that you were trying to find, and what about your methodology made this a really different approach?
I think there's two things, and I'll let Ezra speak to the AI and the tech part. On where I was sitting, it was about the intersectionality of groups. And I feel like a lot of tourism marketers and operators are struggling to figure out, well, who do I speak to first? And who, you know, in the world of DE&I, is it going to be, you know, Black Americans or Hispanic or LGBTQ? And I argue, and I think the group shares this perspective, is like there are probably so many, and the hypothesis was there are so many similarities and needs among underrepresented groups that why don't we actually conduct a study that would be the first of its kind to get a representative sample or at least a cross section of perspectives from traditionally underrepresented groups, whether it's LGBTQ, Black, Hispanic, Asian. That really was the impetus for this. And a lot of, you know, naysayers would say, well, that's really expensive, or it's really, you know, hard to do. And that's where Ezra comes in, because I think she had this really fresh perspective on how research needs to be conducted.
Yeah. I think, Brian, one of the things we see in the industry is there's just not much enough data on diversity. I mean, because we are looking at the majority of the population and we should look at that, but we wanted to add richness to that. And how do we bring that richness? And I need to give lots of credits to James, because back in the day, I participated in his focus groups many, many times. So what he has done is he has taken these focus groups and put them on steroids, what I call them steroids, because we listen to the stories of travelers, what they felt, how their emotions were. And their stories are so rich, from the highs to the lows. We hear it from an implicit and very innate perspective. And then we can take all those story excerpts and bring AI, both traditional AI and some generative AI, and we can look at consumers' emotions, values, personalities, and really guide tourism marketers, tourism management professionals, and how to reach this underserved market. Because at the end of the day, our goal is, how do we create positive images for everyone, both underserved and overserved? And I think that's the difference that we bring, looking at the gaps in the industry.
Yeah, I love that innovative use of AI. Can you tell us a little bit more about what the AI was doing? What were you feeding it? And then what kinds of results and insights were you getting from it?
So from a data perspective, we are looking at purely consumer stories. And in this aspect, we talked to 300 consumers from all around the US, and it's all their stories, where they went, what was their trip like, that top of mind experience, and anything from a bad customer experience to a connection that with family and how that trip was just over to the moon, how wonderful it is. So we are listening to these stories. So we can take those story excerpts and score them through machine learning algorithms and score each emotional value, personality value, and see where consumers score from 0 to 4. And those scores help us identify where a destination or a brand is among these dimensions. For instance, from an emotions perspective, we saw joy and anger in 75% of the stories. They were both present.
Wow.
And we can score each emotion individually. And we can look at that against a competition as well. So it is a really different angle, different dimension when understanding consumers. And we wanted to go this route because oftentimes we ask consumers questions, explicit questions. They will tell us what they think or what they'll do, but it won't always be the truth. Mm. So when we look at the stories, it is more implicit and more true because it's what they're thinking, what they're doing. It's both the heart and emotion and the behavior embedded together.
Yeah, I love that. So innovative, so creative. Now, Danny, you put a lot of emphasis on multicultural travel. And I would love for you to give us some context because you named this the future of travel. And so that says to me that you really see an ascendant sort of multicultural generation or consumer base in the travel marketplace. So give us some context about how the multicultural travel community is growing or becoming part of travel in general in the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of different assumptions that we had, or at least a base level awareness amongst the partnership here around the work that we've been doing with great clients like Virginia and others on my end as well. But the fact of the matter is the market, right? So where is the market sitting? What have been the opportunities of the last, let's say, 4 to 5 years? Certainly George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement, the Black travel movement helped spark or awaken the fact that for a long time, and I always give credit to Martinique Lewis, the president of the Black Travel Alliance, and a power force in the Black travel movement on creating her diversity and travel scorecard, which for many years before George Floyd, consistently gave the industry D's and F's for representation in all aspects of, you know, tourism conferences, tourism marketing, diversity in product, representation of just the Black story itself. But what happened is also the census was coming out around the same time, which was saying, you know, 100% of the growth the last 10 years was all multicultural. And you see these major hubs and these major markets now becoming, you know, majority Hispanic, majority Black, and, you know, mixed race. The LGBTQ population, right? More than ever, I think it's 7% now of all Americans identify as LGBTQ. Even higher for Gen Z. So, you know, as a marketer, as a business savvy person and team here, we're looking at the trends of who is the audience, who is the traveling audience, who's going to be the future of travel. And we always say the future travels now, because what's happened in the last 5 years has been this amazing awakening amongst multicultural groups to the power of travel and seeing travel as no longer a thing that they can't do or don't see themselves in. There is an amazing amount of affinity groups taken to travel as a means of empowerment. And you see that a lot, again, in the research, both Future of Travel and others, about, you know, seeing travel as a way to explore themselves, to grow out of any limitations that they might see themselves having, to get out and explore the world. And it's really a badge of honor for, you know, you see groups like, again, the Black Travel Alliance, the Madness Tribe, you see Latino World Travelers, and all these different affinity groups use travel as a way to express themselves. So from a consumer demand standpoint, the demand is there. The part that I argue is missing for a lot of it is, well, how do actually travel brands and destinations prepare themselves to meet the demands and remove the barriers? We talk a lot about removing barriers, right? To growing the prosperity of the tourism economy. And this applies not only to the American market, right? We see this world globally about multicultural products, services, and messages increasingly appealing to a broader section of travelers. And so, you know, the stats are there. The spend is there. When I was at my previous agency, we undertook a couple of key studies that talked about the, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars that both the Black travel market, Hispanic market, the LGBTQ market has been active in the travel space for a while through, you know, organizations like IGLTA. And there's no denying that there is power there. The missing piece of it is the insights, the emotional, the psychographic insights to be able to say, we understand the power of the market. We understand there is a movement, but how do we actually create connections and authenticity when we're looking to represent? And a big focus of the study is increase the belonging aspect of travel. And, you know, it would be remiss to say, you know, my identity factors a lot into the work that I do as a first generation Hispanic, you know, gay man. I'm intersectional in the way I see myself, and I'm intersectional in the way I see myself when I travel as well. And the bottom line is that for a long time, I worked in this amazing travel industry, but, you know, my cousins would be terrified to leave their hometown. Mm. Wouldn't know the first place to book an international trip. I actually had a cousin call me a couple of weeks back saying, I want to go to Greece. It looks so amazing, but I'm just so afraid. I don't know where to start. How do I book it? How do I get there? Like, you know, I've never been beyond, you know, Yosemite National Park. And that's a real life experience of what a lot of people go through in this country who are diverse, multicultural, and haven't seen necessarily themselves or have this family history of travel that is there to be untapped. So that's a little bit of the context as to why this is the future of travel, which the future of travel, again, is now.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful. The idea of making sure so many more people have access to travel that never saw themselves in it. I love that. Okay. So Ezra, you take 300 stories and you combine it with this cutting edge AI technology. What were the results? What are some of the headlines from the study that you learned?
I think there were so many imperatives that we have seen. Of course, that human connection was definitely a top takeaway. People are going to travel, consumers are going to travel because they want to connect with the loved ones or friends. It's that connection with people, place, and being part of something bigger. We also saw the notion of self-efficacy. You know, we in 10 years ago, 5 years ago, we always talk about, oh, travel is about bettering ourselves, improving ourselves. But we are seeing that notion to go away a little bit. There was a bigger emphasis on self-transcendence. These travelers really want to be something bigger than themselves, and they're so connected with the community. So that bigger well-being, the bigger aspect of community was definitely top of mind for many of the consumers. And again, these travelers are so used to adversity. That's part of their lives in so many ways. They talked about adversity a lot. But what they expect from brands is solutions. Find solutions and talk about opportunities, whether it is a customer service experience or anything that's an obstacle during travel. Even with the outcome of belonging, they are looking for brands to find solutions. And they want brands to do this 24/7, not just on a LGBTQ day at the end of June. So that those were really top takeaways, connection, adversity, and that self, the notion of self-transcendence.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Danny, in your kind of announcement webinar, when you started rolling out these ideas to the world, you mentioned that two key themes really emerged over and over. Those were trust and belonging. Can you kind of fill us in some more on that? Tell us about the importance of those ideas and why they matter so much to the multicultural traveler. And then also, you know, how the travel marketer can really deliver on those needs in an authentic way.
Yeah, absolutely. So Edward just touched on a key point here regarding adversity, right? And marginalized groups. And one, I think the data point for me that really was really telling and kind of proved the hypothesis was when you looked at Black and LGBTQ travelers specifically, you saw this really, really high marker for wanting to see themselves represented and wanting to feel comfortable and safe with where they were going, especially with destinations. You know, and the whole idea of trust is really two-pronged. you know, in earlier research studies that I've been part of, you saw that the influence, especially for Black and Hispanic travelers amongst friends and family, was higher than tourism websites, product websites, meaning that, you know, we first and foremost go to the people that we know to say, hey, was it safe? Did you feel good about it? Did you feel like it was, you know, worth your money? So trust is really a key thing here, because without generating trust, you know, that barrier is going to stay up. And so I think what the Future of Travel study did was really reinforce that it's not just like literal. And I think in our report also, you'll find that we have some really key insights about what these multiculturals, where they go for inspiration and who they choose to trust. Very literally, trust is earned with multicultural travel, especially with the more adversity that you face. But trust is important for brands and destinations because it definitely allows people to see themselves in the experience. You know, oftentimes with qualitative research, you talk about need to see yourself in the social media posts and the content, right? Not just on the cover of the brochure, but in other places too. Who's creating the products? Who's creating the itineraries? You know, how diverse are the individuals, and do they know? Do they have a sense of the multicultural needs, right? The cultural relevance that exists. And a lot of what we do is talk about cultural relevance. And that's really important to people, to see themselves, to hear the music they love, to see the images, to see the foods in the places they travel, or at least see themselves represented in some sort of way in their communities, which Ezra talked about a lot. And that also ladders to belonging. Right, the notion that you belong in a place. If people understand who you are and what you need and what you see, what you seek in travel experiences. And a lot of that work really, I think, needs to happen, you know, at the brand level, both actually brand and operational level, to kind of meet in the middle and say, how do we make sure that we're building authentic and culturally relevant and resonant experiences to the markets that matter to us? By starting both in the operational side and on the marketing side and kind of converging in the middle.
Yeah. You know, it's so fascinating for me to hear you talk about trust being an issue. And I realize I'm coming from a position as a, you know, 40 something white guy where I have never really thought about, do I feel safe traveling in the US or really abroad, unless it's a contentious part of the world or something. So for me, and I think for a lot of our listeners, we don't even have a reference point because we've never had to think about this in those terms. So Ezra, do you remember any sort of language or stories that came up that kind of highlighted why so many of these travelers felt like they had to ask questions about safety or trust or whether they had a place in the destination they were considering?
Yeah. As I mentioned before, Brian, 75% of the stories included sadness. Mm. And my head cannot get around that because travel is such a joyful and fun experience. There's no room for sadness.
Right.
But we have experienced it in the stories because it was happening mostly facing brands at front lines or maybe in the middle of the street when walking a destination that these travelers didn't feel welcome. I think one of the excerpts that touched me the most is coming from this traveler, and I'm going to read it from my notes here. She said, "I am so excited to visit your community. I saved up for this. I planned for this. Please be kind to me and make me feel welcome. This is a big deal for me." I mean, it is just this elegant desire of belonging, and to me, what it translates is that personal psychological safety. So how do we create that as destinations, as brands, so that consumers are feeling more welcome? And one of the things they talked religiously in their study was, in their stories, bringing more context to the friction points. Because these consumers know that we don't live in a perfect world. They know there's going to be a challenge, there's going to be a problem, but they are looking up to the brands to find solutions and bring context to it. So I thought that was so interesting from a consumer state of mind.
Yeah, that's so insightful. So a lot of our listeners are tour operators, or they're people that lead group trips. I wonder if either of you could offer some insights to them specifically as they are looking for destinations, putting together itineraries, planning their activities, or even, you know, who they're marketing to, who they're inviting on their trips. Are there any ways that they can kind of leverage some of these sentiments or insights to make sure that the tour experience is welcoming and has a high level of trust and, you know, makes people of a variety of backgrounds feel like that tour experience is a place for them, even if it, you know, not everybody else on the tour shares their cultural background?
I think there are lots of things any business or tour operators can do. I mean, just starting from imagery that's used, I think just making sure that we are inclusive of diverse groups, different individuals, so that people can see themselves in marketing, because that's a gap that we see. But another component that we saw was these consumers kind of want to be navigated. They are looking for these tips and tricks beforehand, almost like a tour operator or that travel agent being a beacon of light, so that they know how to navigate themselves in these unknown destinations. Maybe it's 5,000 miles away, just like Danny said. So whether it's influencing micro influencers, showing these positive stories, giving them shortcuts to where the best experiences were, those could be very helpful. And I always say it's inside out, making sure that the teams inside these hospitality and tourism groups are diverse. So they're bringing the voices of these travelers. So it's inside out. So how do we become diverse internally so that we can reflect that language? And if it's small teams, get guest riders, involve the local businesses. There's so many local businesses everywhere. We saw this in Richmond executed so well. They're involving the small, diverse business owners to tell the stories of Richmond, Virginia. It's so elegant. Washington, D.C., similar stories. So there are really little things that hospitality and tourism could do.
Yeah. Danny, anything to add for our tour operator listeners?
I think so many tour operators focus on the idea of authenticity and also curated experiences. And having worked at a tour operator myself for a few years, I understand the value that having right experience in those destinations or those experiences bring. I think that tour operators need to know that the consumer is changing a bit, right? And when we talk about multicultural, that's not excluding white white travelers either. Generationally, what you see a lot of millennials especially is this need to frequent brands and places that do promote diversity and equity and inclusion and authenticity and support local communities. So I would say don't be afraid of leaning into the margins when you're trying to tell the story of a place. Not everything has to be hyper luxury and handheld. I think that notion is a thing of the past, where you guarded travelers so much from communities to give this sense of this travel experience that was a little bit, you know, polished and a little bit sterile. And I think people are ready to hear the stories of the marginalized folks, and every community has them, whether that's trans, LGBTQ, socioeconomic. People want to travel and see authentic stories. And I think everything Ezra said is absolutely right. But also, you know, get a little deeper, right? And a lot of what tour operators do is obviously try to prepare experiences across a multitude of destinations and travel styles and budgets. And sometimes you have to, you know, kind of automate that process. But I encourage that people look, and I will say that some companies do a really good job of looking beyond just the expected to go deeper. And so I think as long as we continue to do that and measure, like, who are your consumers? Are you seeing a shift in the demographics? Are you asking them about themselves? Are you gathering first party data about their preferences, how they identify? Are you creating an environment where it's okay to talk about diversity? Versus being afraid of asking the questions, right? Those first party insights are really helpful to then marry what you see in the future of travel study with the reality of your business. And I think not a lot of people are going deeper beyond just, were you satisfied? Would you then PS score? Would you recommend this? Would you refer a friend? Right. Well, what else is there, right? did you feel your identity or your culture was celebrated or acknowledged, right, in this experience? You know, there's things that, I think a lot of people can do to better prepare themselves for navigating this conversation and these opportunities.
Yeah, I love that. So tell us where people can learn more about the future of travel, read the entire study if they want to, and also where they can connect with each of you individually and learn more about your work.
I'm happy to take on the link, the sharemorestories.com/FOT23. Kind of a mouthful, but sharemorestories.com/FOT23 has a few resources. There's a full recording of the webinar, the launch presentation we did, but also where you can purchase the report, which will have an amazing executive summary plus the full results of the research that we've done. And so definitely encourage folks to go there. You can reach me at danny@culturistgroup.com. Culturistgroup.com is a website where we do help brands and destinations, you know, connect better with multicultural audiences and consumers. So that's where you can find my info.
Yeah. What about you, Esra?
Likewise, Share More Stories is our central locality. And you can reach me at Esra@EsraCalvert.com. And I am focused on bringing the old traditional methods and blending it with AI and technology and focusing on our gaps to better our industry.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, we're going to link to all of those things in the show notes so that they're easy for people to find. And before we let you guys go, we have some questions that we ask everyone, and these are just for fun. So no pressure. You can just answer off the top of your head. When you book travel, are you going to book a window seat or an aisle seat? Esther, we'll start with you.
Window seat.
Yeah, why is that?
Because I can just snooze or read or do some work, and I'm away, a little away from everybody.
Nice.
My little corner.
I'm the opposite. Aisle all the way. I like my freedom. I don't like to feel trapped. I don't like to inconvenience people if they're sleeping as well. My mom always taught me to be a very considerate person. And so I always felt like I didn't want to, if somebody was, you know, asleep next to me, that I had to like bug them to get out. So always aisle. And yeah. I have broad shoulders, so that also is a very physical reason.
Yeah, for sure. Anything but the middle for you, right?
Oh yeah, no middle.
Yeah.
No middle, no. And don't upgrade me to middle. Yeah. Ever.
Right. At Delta. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Okay, so Ezra, what's something in your carry-on that you wouldn't travel without?
Makeup, perhaps. Makeup. I always have makeup in my travel bag.
That makes sense. What about you, Danny?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. I would say, I would say my iPad. I love reading. I love staying up on the news and not having the whole device of the laptop kind of distracting me from that. So iPad's always very, very necessary for on the spot research. And I just love traveling with that thing.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. All right, Esra, if you had a free airline pass and a week off work, where would you head next?
Probably right now, Fiji. It's on my list. And I just heard beautiful stories about Fiji. And I just want to see the beauty of it and the beauty of people.
Yeah, absolutely. That's that sounds amazing. Danny, what about you?
Okay, I would go to the Yukon in Canada. My friend does PR for the Yukon, and February is the peak time to see the Northern Lights. So I don't want to go all the way to Iceland. And she's been posting this last week from the Yukon. And that's exactly where I would go at this time, even though it's freezing.
Wow. You know, I've interviewed dozens and dozens of people, and you're the first person to say the Yukon. So congratulations. That sounds amazing. I would love to do that. Yeah. So last question, what's something you've seen or done on the road that you wish you could go back and experience again with someone you love? Esra.
Danny just mentioned about Iceland. So I took a trip to Iceland a few years ago with my husband, and we drove around the country in the middle of nowhere in this just beautiful land that's just endless. It was just so divine. It was so beautiful. And I would never forget that experience. And I'm ready to go in the middle of winter too. Yeah. In the middle of a snowstorm, I'm ready to go back.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds wonderful. How about you, Danny?
Oh my gosh. I you know, I've had the fortune of visiting some really great places around this world. And I would say the place that I wish I could take my significant other and just everybody is Papua New Guinea. It's not a destination a lot of people think about, but when you talk about culture, especially like snorkeling there, some of the most beautiful people and lands, and in terms of different culture, just different cultural norms, felt like I was truly somewhere special. That blew my mind. And I will never forget that trip.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds amazing. Esther Calvert, Danny Guerrero, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Brian. This was a joy.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed that conversation with Danny Guerrero and Esther Calvert. I hope you found some useful and insightful information and stories there in what they had to share. I want to go back and hit just a few of the high points of that conversation and zero in on some insights that I want to make sure you don't miss, because I think they're helpful for all of us who are trying to build a positive future in tourism. Now, when I asked Danny about this ascendant multicultural majority coming into the American marketplace, he said 100% of the growth in the last 10 years was all multicultural. As marketers, we're looking at who is the traveling audience and who is going to be the future of travel. And he went on to say the future of travel is now. In the past 5 years, there has been an amazing awakening in multicultural groups to the power of travel. They're no longer seeing travel as something they can't do. And there's an amazing amount of affinity groups taking to travel as a means of empowerment. They see travel as a way to explore themselves, to grow out of any limitations they may have, and it's really a badge of honor. I can't tell you how much I love this perspective. First of all, it's valuable to be reminded how much the American landscape is changing in terms of demographic makeup, and how much and how quickly that should be changing the way we think about our messaging and our marketing and our product development. But I also love this phenomenon of people maybe from diverse backgrounds or perhaps even disadvantaged backgrounds sort of staking a claim on their place in the travel landscape. See, I believe that travel is hugely powerful and has massive potential to help heal some of the problems in our society. Of course, it's heartbreaking that for so long, so many people have not felt like they had a place in the travel community. But I'm glad that people are starting to say, hey, wait a minute, we do have a place and we're going to get out there and take that place. And so for people who have been in travel a long time, for people that don't come from disadvantaged backgrounds, for people that have had lots of opportunities in the past, we're now at a moment where we can come alongside those people who are new to travel, welcome them in, and help make a way for them to discover the power of travel in their own lives and in their community. It's going to be good for them. It's going to be good for us. It's going to be good for society. That is an opportunity we should make the most of. Now, when I was talking with Esra about this issue of trust, she said that when they asked travelers from multicultural backgrounds about their experience with travel, she said 75% of their stories included sadness. She went on to say that people are looking for personal psychological safety and asked, how do we create that so consumers feel more welcome? And she said, consumers know we don't live in a perfect world, but they're looking to brands to find solutions and bring context to it. You know, it is heartbreaking to me when anybody has a sad or disappointing or angering experience in travel, to think that 75% of people from a minority background report sadness in their travel experiences. It's just shattering. I'll be honest. That is simply shattering. It's obviously not something that is right. It's obviously not something that we should be comfortable with. And it's definitely not something that should continue in the future. Now, I haven't read all the stories in the Future of Travel report, but if you are someone who, like me, says we can't continue in a world where 75% of minority travelers report sadness in their travel experiences, then I would encourage you to dig deeper into those stories, download the report, talk to people, reach out to folks in your own community or your travel group or other people you know, and ask them if they have had similar kinds of sad experiences, especially around their place in the culture, their cultural background, their identity. Listen to what those people say, and then let's start using the power of travel to undo some of that damage that has been done in the past. Let's get proactive about making sure everyone has a place in travel, and that travel for everyone is that life-changing experience, that hugely positive, enriching experience that we know it can be. And finally, when I asked Danny about what makes people feel welcome, specifically in a tour, Danny said tour operators need to know that the consumer is changing a bit. Generally, you see in a lot of millennials a need to frequent brands and places that promote diversity and authenticity and support local communities. He said, don't be afraid to lean into the margins when telling the story of a place. Not everything has to be hyper-luxury and handheld. That notion is a thing of the past, where you've guarded travelers so much to give a travel experience that was a little bit polished and a little bit sterile. He said, people are ready to hear stories of marginalized folks. They want to travel and see authentic stories. Well, I couldn't agree more that that sanitized, buttoned-up version of travel really is a thing of the past. And that's not to say that there isn't a place for luxury travel experiences, that there isn't a place for relaxing or seeing the best of a place or the beauty of the world, because all those things can be great in their own way. But any experience that intentionally sweeps difficult stories or painful history or marginalized people under the rug, well, it's just completely inauthentic. And if that's the kind of travel you're doing, I would venture to say you're not really traveling at all. You're just locomoting from one place of comfort to another place of comfort. That's not the kind of travel that changes your life or your customers' lives. It certainly is not the kind of travel that changes society. So I would echo Danny's sentiments and encourage you to find those places where you can still have a great time. You can still see a beautiful place. You can still expose your travelers to some of the most amazing sights and sounds and tastes and cultures on earth, but figure out how to do it in authentic ways that tell complete stories. It's only going to make your trip richer, and your travelers will thank you for it. Great stuff there from Danny Guerrero and Esther Calvert. Well, if you have thoughts about the future of travel, about authenticity in travel, about how the travel industry can embrace people from diverse backgrounds, we would love to hear from you. You can reach us anytime at podcast@grouptravelleader.com. I read every email that comes into that address. I always enjoy hearing what you have to say and think. And your feedback really helps us shape the show. So if you like Gather and Go, please continue to send those ideas and questions and help us serve you better. And hey, while you're in the mood to help us out, would you do me a favor? Go to your favorite podcasting app, find Gather and Go, hit the follow or subscribe button. Also, leave us that review and that rating. Those are super helpful. And I am thankful to every one of you who has done that so far. My thanks as well to Danny Guerrero and Esther Calvert for joining us today. On the next episode of Gather and Go, we're going to talk about creating memorable dining experiences with Teresa Nemitz, who has founded multiple culinary tour companies. That's going to be a fun and delicious conversation you won't want to miss. Until then, though, remember this. At the end of the day, we're all on this trip together, so let's make it a good one. See you next time on Gather and Go. Gather and Go is hosted and executive produced by me, Brian Jewell. Our publisher is Mac Lacey. Danya Simmons is our creative director. Ashley Ricks is our circulation manager and graphic designer. Our sales team is Kyle Anderson and Bryce Wilson. To advertise on the podcast, call Kyle or Bryce at 859-253-0455. Gather and Go is a production of the Group Travel Leader. For more information on our podcast, magazines, and events, visit us online at grouptravelleader.com. This episode was sponsored by Visit Atlantic City. This vibrant city awaits your arrival, and the knowledgeable staff is on hand to assist you with everything you need to make your group visit a success. Learn more at visitatlanticcity.com.